Well, we've had about a week to overanalyze, to decompress, to de-stress, to let all of the information, all of the tweets, and all of the memories of this game where the Kansas City Chiefs fell to the New England Patriots in the AFC playoffs. It's all washed over us. It's all come and gone. Now I am ready to talk about it. I hope you're ready to hear me talk about it. This is Roughing the Kicker on Arrowhead Addict. I am your host, Joshua Briscoe. On this episode, we're going to say goodbye to the 2015 Chiefs, going to break down the loss of the Patriots, and discuss how we should remember the season. Plus, at the end of the show, we'll look at the coaching news that's come out of Kansas City. But we're going to start off talking about a what-if situation and trying to figure out why the Chiefs lost this game. Clock management became the hot topic in the final few minutes and then in the weeks since then, but that is not why the Kansas City Chiefs lost this game, at least by my judgment. Although, don't worry, I'll talk about that also, even though it apparently might not have been Andy Reid's fault. Look at all the different things the Chiefs failed at in this game, how we should feel about them, not only as this season goes, but looking into the future on this episode of Roughing the Kicker. Big picture, I'm glad the Kansas City Chiefs season ended in the second round of the playoffs rather than in week six of the regular season like I thought it did at the time. But this loss still sucks. It's still a difficult loss to swallow. I had about 51% of myself convinced before the game that the Chiefs were going to move on to the AFC Championship game, and then, by my judgment, to the Super Bowl, as I now think the Patriots will. It was just a small margin of me that was over that threshold to say, all right, I'll pick the Chiefs here. And it didn't work, and it didn't work not because of how the game ended. The Kansas City Chiefs' game plan depended on one factor above the rest, and I think I talked about it ad nauseum in the preview show. The Kansas City Chiefs had to get pressure on Tom Brady, not just from the edges with Justin Houston and Tom Bahali and D Ford. And by the way, Justin Houston was not a factor in this game. I have the exact stat later. I believe he played 8 snaps in this game, none of them being in the second half. If that's wrong, I'll correct myself in a few minutes, but I'm pretty sure that was what the stat was. Justin Houston was not a factor in this game. Jeremy Maclin was more of a factor than Justin Houston was, which would have blown my mind if you had told me that before the game started. But Tom Bahali was as good as he could be. D Ford got some pressure in some instances, but pressure up the middle, we always said, would be hugely important. And Dontari Poe and Jay Howard never got much of an effect on the game. Tom Brady never felt the pressure. I think I have the exact stat later in this show. But Tom Brady, I think, was hurried on 2 throws the entire game. He certainly never looked under duress. There was never really a case where he went, oh, here we go, they've got him. They've got him in the grasp. He's going down. The game is going to change on this pass rush here. Because you never had enough time to say that. What I just said there took, what, 4 or 5 seconds? Listen to this stat from Twitter after the game from Jeff P. Howe. From the snap to the release, Tom Brady's average throw last night took 2.16 seconds. I'm going to read that again because this statistic, if you would have told me the statistic before the game, I would have picked the Patriots 100 times out of 100. This is the stat that beat the Chiefs. It's not clock management. It's not Andy Reid, or maybe now as we realize, not Doug Peterson. This is the stat where the Chiefs lost. From snap to the release, Brady's average throw took 2.16 seconds. That's the ball game. The Patriots built a quick strike offense where every pass seemed to go for like 12 yards, but it was always an immediate throw. The guy would catch it, be it Edelman or Amendola or Gronkowski, would catch it and then fall across the first down marker, and then they would go do that again as many times as they needed to march down the field. You can't get pressure from the edges in 2.16 seconds. The Chiefs beat Houston twice by understanding that concept. J.J. Watt was not going to get to Alex Smith in under 2.5 seconds. If you have any offensive line, and the Patriots was banged up, but they played well enough, you can buy any offensive line, can buy your quarterback 2.2 seconds. And that's what Tom Brady needed on average. On average. There were plenty of plays where Brady had much more time than that. So imagine how many throws left his hand in under 2 seconds. Too many. And the only thing that can stop that, in some cases, is pressure up the middle. But even if you snap it and Brady's in the shotgun, and maybe he takes another three steps back, Dontari Poe could be bum rushing a blocking sled, and 2 seconds would still be quite a demand to put on your defensive line. And he had a real offensive lineman in front of him, and the pressure from the edges wasn't getting there. So how do you fix that? You fix it by jamming the receivers. And the Chiefs did that a tiny bit in the second half, but they didn't do it enough in the first, and the adjustment was not severe enough by Bob Sutton. In this game, everybody knew what the Patriots' offense looked like. Whenever they're talking about the impact of having Julian Edelman come back, and the fact that Danny Amendola and Rob Gronkowski are their biggest weapons, no one was afraid of the deep downfield stuff to Brandon LaFell. That was never going to be the problem in this game. Everybody understands what the Tom Brady offense looks like right now. He does it so well. So what do? You throw off the timing. The defensive scheme completely failed here. Completely failed. So Bob Sutton now has one win in the playoffs with the Chiefs and two choke jobs. And for the most part here, I think the defense held up as well as they could have. Or at least that was my thought at the time. But if you think that I might be off base by putting a lot of this blame on Bob Sutton, listen to what Tom Bahali said after the game.
Well, the ball coming out quick was the biggest challenge. We had game planning to bang some of these guys. And in the second half when we did that, they slowed down. He held the ball a little bit. But that was the biggest challenge because the rush wasn't getting there and the ball's coming out. And he's real good with that. But as the game progressed in the second half when we did bang the tight end or jam the receiver, he held it a bit, and we had some pressures. Yeah, those guys could block. I believe in our guys. We can rush. When the ball is coming out within 1 or 2 seconds, it's not much you can do. But I do believe if we did jam them the whole game, we would have had success as we did towards the end of the game.
I mean, that's amazing to me, honestly. Tell me if you have another example of this. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe. I cannot ever think of a time when I've heard Tom Bahali be openly critical of a scheme or a coach like he was just there. This is a podcast, so you can go back and listen to that again if you feel like. Listen to the way he talks about how this one change would have changed the outcome of the game. Because it would have. You've got to throw the timing off on those quick shot little slant routes across the middle. You cannot get pressure around the edges in 2.2 seconds on average. That's never going to work. And you're not going to be able to cover those because it's two very quick slot receivers or Rob Gronkowski, the best tight end we've seen since Tony Gonzalez in the NFL, doing slants where it's impossible to defend those 90% of the time because they have the angle, they have the speed, they have the agility, and Tom Brady is going to put it exactly where he needs to. So if you're not going to bump those receivers on the line and throw that timing off and make Brady recalibrate a little bit, you're going to lose the football game. You're going to lose. There's not an alternative. If the Chiefs would have played the whole game trying to stay in some zone or like a 7-yard off coverage of any sort, the Chiefs would never win it. You played a million times. It's not going to happen if Tom Brady's playing quarterback for the other team, and that's the offensive scheme. So you can talk about clock management all you want, and I will talk about clock management all I want in a little while. But man, in this game, I have such a hard time getting past, and if you make it the coaching as a whole, I have a hard time getting past the coaching as a whole. Back to the idea of how do we remember this team? Andy Reid had a 1-5 team after 6 weeks. And is some of that his fault that they got to 1-5? Absolutely. Sure thing. But Andy Reid held a 1-5 team together and then strung together 11 straight wins. And Bob Sutton, in that time, schemed up some fantastic defenses. They could not have failed one time in that stretch and still made the playoffs. Andy Reid held a 1-5 team together. Bob Sutton gave the defenses what they needed, gave the defense what it needed to let that stretch happen. But both of them, Reid and Sutton, failed on the biggest stage of the year. Let's recap the game like we have all throughout this season, starting it off with a what if from Matt Connor at Matt Connor AP on Twitter. So without a total meltdown / miracle loss to the Broncos, the Chiefs would have enjoyed another week of rest to get healthy. Plus, Jeremy Maclin wouldn't have gotten injured against the Houston Texans. And that's true, and I think that's an interesting thing to keep in mind, especially with how the Patriots had such injury issues coming into the game. So it's true, and I'm okay with that, talking about that as a what-if scenario, because it's just something that could have changed the season. But think of it this way. Injuries hurt the Patriots worse in the last 6 weeks, but they were worse than the Chiefs on Saturday. And I get it. And that's just true. And that's not an excuse at all. It's just what happened. If Edelman and Gronkowski missed that game, we could say the same thing in reverse, and it wouldn't have tainted the outcome. It's just part of how the NFL works. You play a long season, and guys get hurt. And for the Chiefs, there was some bad timing because they lost two offensive linemen and their number one offensive weapon, Jeremy Maclin, going into this game. And maybe the most importantly, Justin Houston. Maclin obviously ended up playing. He was limited. He was effective, but he was limited. And Justin Houston was a non-factor. So yes, an extra week to get healthy and then a totally healthy Jeremy Maclin would have been incredible to see the Chiefs having that advantage. And then New England coming to Kansas City in all likelihood, possibly Cincinnati, I suppose. It would have been incredible. But it's not how it works. Injuries by NFL teams at different points throughout the season. It always happens. The Chiefs lost Jamaal Charles early on, in case anybody forgot. And sometimes I kind of do forget that. Because they rebounded from it so well. But everybody has injury issues. The Chiefs had their injury issues come at the worst possible time. As I said at the beginning of the show, I promise I'll yell about clock management. It's going to come later. Let's just start with the breakdown of the game here now, though. First quarter, Patriots open up with a 5-wide setup. A man went in motion, screen pass, no gain, stopped by Marcus Peters. Next play, very short pass to Edelman, thrown behind him. At this point, I'm feeling pretty good. 3rd and 10, then Brady beats the blitz, hits Edelman, who beat D. Ford. I don't think D. Ford covered Julian Edelman again the rest of the game. He shouldn't have. And the Chiefs could not afford to blitz very often, as they did in this case. That was my judgment at the time. Bob Sutton didn't necessarily agree with me, and that problem happened several times here. The Chiefs needed to get pressure with the front guys. Ford versus Edelman is going to be a loss every single time. Most of the linebackers against the slot guys is going to be a loss every time. Linebacker against Gronkowski, better chance. But the Chiefs could not afford to blitz. They needed to get pressure with their front line so those linebackers can stay in coverage and try to stop those short things. Or, I don't know, bump the receivers off the line. Don't listen to me. I just have a podcast. Next, short strike to Edelman for 13. Next, 16 to a wide open Amendola. Sean Smith played good coverage for an incompletion after that, but then Brady threw a strange kind of like faux screen that went over D. Ford's head. Ford played it perfectly, stopped it for a loss, got to 3rd and 13. Chiefs went with 7 defensive backs, most of them on the line of scrimmage. Got pressure on Brady for once, but nobody could bring him down. Ron Parker couldn't stay with Rob Gronkowski for that long. 30-plus yard gain. The big plays never stopped here. As I said, Edelman for 13. 16 to Amendola, 30 for Gronkowski. 3rd and 7 from the 8, Brady to Gronkowski in the front corner of the end zone. Not a chance there for Sean Smith. Touchdown, 7-0 Patriots. Those are the kind of plays that you cannot stop, that I mentioned earlier. You cannot let the Patriots get that far. You get to the end zone where it's Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski against Eric Berry or anyone, you lose. You cannot let that happen. 11-play drive, 80 yards, all of them passes. No run plays on that first drive. Justin Houston did not see the field. 7-0 Patriots. And as I said at the time, the Chiefs had to get pressure and take Brady down without constantly blitzing. And that's going to be harder without Justin Houston. And it was terrible. Also, the Chiefs allowed 2 3rd and 10 or longer conversions. You can't do that against... If you get the Patriots to 3rd and 10, you can't give those up constantly. In the offense, one of the other keys for offensively, the Chiefs have to move the ball, and I thought they would, and they did on some level. But you can't settle for field goals whenever you get close enough to be in field goal range. You've got to make those conversions if you're the Chiefs against the Patriots in New England, in the playoffs. Brady, Belichick, we all get it. Also, for the record, I'm not talking about the fact that the referees forgot their pressure gauges at the hotel before this game. I don't care. I do not care at all. This is the only time I'm going to talk about it, unless 2 weeks from now there's another federal investigation. I don't care about ball pressure. Not even a little bit. Chiefs get the ball on offense, start off with a nice play-action pass. Smith throws it a bit too high to Demetrius Harris, but makes a nice move, gets the first down. Short play-action pass to Sherman, 2nd and 8, line of scrimmage pass to Frankie Hammond. God, I hate those. 3rd down, Maclin slings across the middle. He beat the jam and reeled in the first down. Macklin looked awfully good on this first target of the game. Then two West runs in a row, first run of the game, comes around 7 minutes left in the first quarter because the Patriots didn't have one at all, and that was the Chiefs' first one there. Then on third and three, Smith goes to Travis Kelce for five, a good conversion there. Then Smith had all day later, checked it down to Charkendrick West, and he just dropped it, should have been at least 5 yards. Designed Alex Smith run to the right for a loss of three. Then third and 13, where everything, you can tell by the tone of my voice, everything was just kind of coming to a very slow halt here for the Chiefs. Then on third and 13, Smith drops back to pass. It's a pump fake. He tucks it and absolutely shreds the defense for 15. It was beautiful. So a conversion there, we weren't expecting it. Then later on third down, third and four, the Chiefs had to use their second timeout. Clock management, we'll get there. Then a play-action read option with Nile Davis, Smith, and ultimately the pitcher, Charkendrick West, gets the first down. Second and six after a run, Smith goes to Kelce in the end zone, but it was too high. And this happened a couple of times in this game where Smith went high to Kelce. And especially on this one, I believe this very strongly, it was high on purpose. It was a little bit too much, but it was high on purpose. Whenever you're playing with Travis Kelce on your team and you're throwing into like double and triple coverage, you're allowed to throw in the double and triple coverage, but it's got to be at a place where only Travis Kelce can get to it. So what Smith did here, he couldn't get to it. Third and six, Smith gets pressured. He scrambled like Tim Tebow and then ended up throwing it away. Chiefs settle for a field goal, 7-3. It's not good enough. You just cannot do that against the Patriots. Ultimately, the final score showed us a little bit of that as well. Patriots go straight to third and seven. Then Brady hits Brandon LaFell between Ron Parker and Derek Johnson. Drive stays alive. Edelman bobbles a pass straight towards Sean Smith, but Smith couldn't catch it. That pick would have been a heck of a change in momentum in this game. Then third and eight. Brady to Edelman, incomplete. Ron Parker in coverage. Chiefs get a stop. Everything's a little bit more hopeful there. And then a punt to Frankie Hammond was returned for a little bit. At that point in the game, I thought it was evident that the Chiefs are going to try to eat it up on short plays. Short, successful plays with Ware, Conley, whoever can possibly be enough. Picking up third and short, using several different players to do so. That's how the Chiefs were going to have a chance to win this game offensively. Third and seven, Travis Kelce drops the pass just short of the first. Donald Stevenson gets a hand to the face penalty anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. Danny Parkins tweeted out at this point, quote, Chiefs skill position guys on second down were Charkendrick West, Albert Wilson, Jason Avant, and Chris Conley. They're doing this with smoke and mirrors. And then at this point, Justin Houston jumped on the field and did it and perplexed me even further. He did not play much, though. Parkins' point, though, that the Chiefs are doing this with guys who arguably wouldn't have made a bunch of rosters in the NFL. Charkendrick West was the third back. Albert Wilson was an afterthought in a lot of ways, at least whenever he originally came onto the team. Jason Avant's 97 years old, and Chris Conley is a rookie in Andy Reid's system where success is pretty rare. Patriots have the ball back, go incomplete to Edelman on the sideline. The Chiefs got real pressure on Brady, and then they ran it 2 yards, or threw it 2 yards to Steven Jackson. Then on third and eight, incomplete, nice zone coverage, and the hit on an in-progress drop by Derek Johnson, is what I was trying to say there. Then Hammond fielded the punt, it just passed midfield, and the Chiefs started the ball with the ball on the 36-yard line. Started on the 36. First down, Patriots blow up a screen, the Travis Kelce poorly blocked. Second and 12, Smith goes down the sideline to Mackle, but it's overthrown. Good coverage. Third and 12, play action. I don't know why. Play action, and a pass behind the line of scrimmage that got dumped off to Travis Kelce. The Chiefs started on the 36, and they had to punt. Not even in a field goal range. They moved backwards. Just a terrible drive for the Chiefs there. Hugely wasted opportunity. And then Jamel Fleming gets blown up on punt coverage by Danny Amendola, who was back to, Danny Amendola, who was back to return. He's since been fined, but half the distance to the goal did not do that justice, because that's what the penalty ended up being on that hit, because half the distance was about 2.5 yards. It was a terrible hit by Danny Amendola. If that was Vontaze Burfict, the Bengals player who got in trouble for hitting Antonio Brown across the middle of the field, people would be losing their mind. But it was Danny Amendola. He's like a scrappy player. He's a scrappy guy, just playing his heart out. So the rage was minimal. He's got a fine that he's planning to appeal, whatever. Empty backfield for the Patriots, 2 yards deep in the end zone. He goes for 12. Brady goes for 12 to Edelman without a blip. Just another wasted opportunity for the Chiefs there. You start with the ball on the 36. You pin them within the two and then immediately give up the space that the Patriots needed. Brady went deep, hit Keyshawn Martin for 42. Martin and Gronkowski were running like side by side in the midst of three defensive backs, Barry, Parker, and Peters, and none of them made a play on the ball. The Chiefs cannot pressure. I wrote at the time, I think I tweeted this even. You cannot pressure an immediate throw, which ended up being a problem throughout the whole game. Apparently, I noticed it earlier than Bob Sutton did. You can't pressure an immediate throw, but that means the coverage has to get tighter and better. Or you bump the guy. Didn't happen, but that's what I thought at the time. Brady got pressured and chased. Desmond Moses hit Brady late for roughing the passer penalty, which you could see coming from 2 miles away. The first hit on Brady. I mean, it wasn't the worst penalty I've ever seen, just because maybe there's a thought that if you finally contact Tom Brady, something good might happen from it. But it was a super obvious penalty. Keeps the drive moving. And then Steven Jackson gets back-to-back carries. Ron Parker blows up Jackson on a bloopy misdirection kind of pass. And then Brady got flushed out of the pocket and then ran to the end zone and got to about the one-yard line. Patriots lost a challenge. Brady snuck it in on the next play anyway. Touchdown, Patriots, 14-3. I don't know what else you expect to happen there. You let all this immediate stuff go with Brady. You get the roughing the passer. You let him escape on a chance when you actually had an opportunity to stop them. Gets to the one. Of course he's going to sneak it in. Curtis Siebold from 810 at KSiebold on Twitter tweeted, "Chiefs are 36 yards from the lead. Now they're down 11. You miss against this team and they will kill you." It's very simple. I don't have to add to that. That's all true. Also, for the record, I'm totally done over hating Tom Brady because he's good, because he wins. If you're mad about it, score points and or stop him. I don't need more Deflategate jokes. I don't need people hating Tom Brady because he's better than anything the Chiefs can put on the field. It's not Tom Brady's fault. I mean, if you're tired of losing, fine. Complain about losing, but don't complain about Tom Brady and he is too much of a pretty boy or he's a cheater. Please, stop him. Chiefs get the ball back after a nice now Davis return. Charcandrick West gets a great blocking and rolls for about 17. Smith went deep to Albert Wilson, but Wilson gets no separation. And then at Sporting ASM tweeted me and said, "To me, it looks like he, Wilson, has trouble tracking the ball and has to slow down because of that." I think that's a great point. Other people have speculated that Wilson just stops trying on deep passes pretty constantly. I like the idea that he has trouble tracking the ball. Alternatively, he runs out of gas. All of those would be very bad things for a receiver. He's a slot receiver. He's a good slot receiver, or a budding slot receiver. He cannot stretch the field. Second and 10, West gets 3, whoop-de-doo. And then third and 7 on the 46, Smith gets time and goes deep to a covered Jason Avant, and Avant reels it in for a 26-yard play. Jason Avant was the shockingly effective player in this Chiefs offense in this game. Then Smith goes short to Kelce on 2nd and 7. Kelce gets to the 12. Chiefs use their last time out of the half. 3rd and 1. Smith runs it on a play action, and they spike it with 25 seconds left. 2nd down. Smith goes to Kelce. Kelce stumbled, could not get the leap he needed. Again, it was overthrown. He was in triple coverage, or it was thrown highly. If he doesn't slip up there, he has a chance to make a play on that ball. Then on 3rd down, Smith was calling for the ball, and Zach Fulton didn't snap it. Fulton couldn't hear him, I guess. And then it's 3rd and goal from the 14. Then Smith sails it over Conley and out of the end zone, and the Chiefs settle for a field goal again. They built a drive, and all they had to walk away from it was a total of 14-6. Smith was not making perfect throws, but receivers were getting zero separation, utterly no separation. And that Avant play was obviously the best of the drive, and Avant was draped in Patriots. No separations from the Chiefs receivers here at all. I wrote at the time, or tweeted at the time, I was really interested to see what halftime adjustments would be made, but the Chiefs should have had 10 or 20 points, which I feel like I've said for the last several weeks at halftime for the Chiefs. The Patriots at halftime of this game were 92-1 when leading at the half at home in the Tom Brady era. That got bumped to 93-1. Halftime comes and goes. 1st and 10, Smith designed run for nothing. 2nd and 10, pressured incomplete. 3rd and 10, Macklin falls as he catches it by the sidelines. Smith takes a hit, and they get the first down. Another nice play, and Jeremy Macklin continues to be relevant in this game when we thought he might not even play. Niall Davis had a nice run, but holding on Ja Reed moved it back to 1st and 20. A screen to Chris Conley went for 10. Then on 2nd and 10, Smith misses Avant deep, but a defensive holding gets called on Coleman, who was covering Avant. Again, Avant making plays that don't even show up in the stat sheet at this point. Niall Davis continually ran very well, and Spencer Ware could not get on the field, which was very strange. He played some on special teams, but not offensively. And I still don't know what exactly the point was there, what happened there. And then on the next play, Smith had all day. He hit Niall Davis for 9 yards in the first down, and I promise you, I said this. As he was running, I said out loud, "Just don't fumble it." And he did. Patriots ball. Patriots go with a quick flip to Gronkowski for 18 that looked like a non-issue, just a little bloop. Julian Edelman rush for 11. Brady to Edelman for 14. some other stuff that probably happened in there somewhere. It doesn't matter. Brady ended up going to Gronkowski for 16 after getting Eric Berry to bite hard on a pump fake. It's 21-6. The Chiefs did, and this is where this game matters the most to me. This last, whatever, 3 or 4 minutes of me talking, those were the sequences that changed this game and put this game out of hand. And even though the Chiefs made a nice push later on, that push could have been for the lead, not playing catch-up. The sequence of wasting incredible field position, 36 yards from the lead, strike one, and plus, just as an add-on, not being able to hold the Patriots back and letting them drive down. Make that strike two if you want. I've got 4 strikes now, I think. Then the drive down and settling for another field goal, strike two, or strike three, I suppose. Strike four, now Davis fumbling it on a nice Chiefs drive. Strike four, five. I'm done counting. The Chiefs did just about everything you can't afford to do against the Patriots. Everything looked bad. Turnovers, wasted field position, wasted good field position defensively, not jamming the receivers, giving Brady enough time, wasting opportunities over and over and over again. I feel like I have a hard time vocalizing this because I really want to make sure that we walk away with the right perception of what cost the team this game. Because as much as I'm going to yell about clock management and how Andy Reid needs significant help with that, that's not the problem here. The problem here is wasted opportunities, and this we saw this coming all year long. There have been wasted opportunities by the Chiefs in every game this year. Every game. You could point to a sequence and go, yeah, they had this situation and didn't capitalize on it. And when you're playing a better team, or you're playing maybe the best player in NFL history, or I would argue the best player in my lifetime at the most important position in all of sports, Tom Brady, you can't, it's not that you can't make mistakes. You can make mistakes. The Chiefs made plenty of mistakes. But you can't fail to capitalize on really prime opportunities. And the Chiefs did that consistently. Consistently. And all those things I just talked about. Chiefs fall to 3rd and 7 when they get the ball back. Smith dodged 3 Patriot sacks and Jeff Allen and threw a random shot to Jason Avant, who went up and caught it for a truly fantastic play. And later, Smith hits Kelce for 13, 2nd and 2. Smith dropped back, had time, jogged for the first down. Bill Barnwell tweeted at this point, "When people say Alex Smith isn't good enough to win in the playoffs, he's sure making plays." And I love being able to see national writers and analysts watch that. Because Alex Smith, even Chiefs fans aren't giving Alex Smith enough credit for what he can actually do. And later in the offseason, I'm going to talk about the idea of extending Alex Smith for the sake of cap relief. And I'm sure a lot of you will loudly disagree with that, and that's okay. I look forward to that conversation. But Alex Smith has been making plays. Not only did he make enough plays in the Houston game, they won by 30. He made plays in this game with Jason Avant as his only consistent weapon. Kelce disappeared. Macklin wasn't healthy. He made plays in the Indy game over and over and over again, and the defense collapsed. Not only does Alex Smith, did he make plays throughout the regular season, he's made plays in the playoffs consistently. 2nd and 11, Albert Wilson picks up 8. 3rd and 3, terrible short pass to Conley that was closer to a pick than a catch. I would have run the option there on 3rd and 3. But the Chiefs end up picking up the first down, and then a touchdown actually happens, believe it or not. A fantastic throw to Albert Wilson. He gives the Gronk spike. It was a 12-play, 80-yard drive for a touchdown, 21-13. It's an 8-point game at that point. 8 points. And it still felt like the Chiefs had just wasted so many opportunities, because if they capitalize on half of those that I talked about missing, the Chiefs are in the lead right now. Patriots only needed 2 plays to pick up 2 long first downs and get to the Chiefs' 40. It was just too easy. Marcus Peters had a pick in his arms, but it was too low to pull it in. Another incompletion led to 3rd and 10. Brady bounced another one. Field goal, 24-13. Maybe I was different from most Chiefs fans at this point, but in my notes, that you know, keeping track of different things throughout the game, I just wrote, whatever. I had no real hope, honestly, at this point. No incredible optimism. Because the Chiefs had one good drive there, a couple of drives that weren't good enough, just field goals, and then some really crummy ones. Chiefs get the ball back, run for nothing, screen for nothing, 3rd and 10, Smith gets sacked, delay of game on a punt, and the Patriots start with great field position. I feel like my bland, unenthusiastic, whatever, was pretty much justified. with that point. So the Patriots go 19 yards and get a field goal, 27-13. My quote, "This isn't what it looks like," tweet of the day, was that I would have loved to have seen this game with Houston, Macklin, and Ware being healthy or even healthy-ish. That's not me saying, Chiefs, the Patriots got lucky, the Chiefs had all their best players injured, and if they were healthy, the Patriots would have been running scared. No, that's please, if you hear that, good grief. Call me, I'll give you my personal cell phone number, we'll talk it out. But I would have loved to have seen what that game would have looked like. I think it would have been a fascinating game, and I do think the Chiefs would have won it. But that's not sour grapes. That's just, it's kind of a bummer that we didn't get to see the healthy version of these two teams. Because the Patriots would have gotten better also with everyone on the roster just magically being healed. But I would have loved to have seen that happen as opposed to these two banged up teams. Whatever. I'm moving on. The Chiefs end up turning it over on downs. Dee Ford pressures Brady on second down. Gets the Chiefs' second knockdown of the day. Woohoo! Patriots end up punting. Then we pop champagne bottles. And then the offense made some nice plays, but it took too long. It was too late in the game. Avant laid out for a beautiful catch. And I want to agree on the idea, with the idea that Avant is a solid veteran wide receiver. But Alex Smith has needed a number two receiver badly all year long. And Avant had been irrelevant up until this game. It was a nice game for Jason Avant. But he's not the future of the veteran wide receiver position. And again, so the offense makes some nice plays. Smith gets Albert Wilson to the one. West gets tackled in the backfield, and the Chiefs wasted at least half a minute as the two-minute warning hit. And yes, it was brutal clock management. Brutal, brutal clock management. And so if you feel like I haven't given enough rage on that, I'll go ahead and give you my favorite quip that I feel like I throw out all the time. Basically, every Chiefs game, every Packers game, and every time a head coach has an Andy Reid impression. The NFL has talked about becoming a $25 billion industry. The NFL employs uniform regulators and endless numbers of coaches and assistants that teams employ, right? The NFL is a huge business with a ton of coaches and a ton of assistants and a ton of scouts. I'd like to propose that we add one payroll position for a math teacher or a math grad student with an idea of how football works, okay? A football fan math teacher to just stand by Andy Reid and control timeouts and the clock. Like, I think the Chiefs would be, I don't know, half a win better every year. If you say, hey man, listen, we're going to give you $40,000 for a year, and you're only going to really need to work on game days for the most part. Study these situations. Get the math ready to go. Just generally be intelligent and watch football. And then on Sundays, stand by Andy Reid. And then whenever he's about to call a timeout, either stop him or hopefully we'll be able to train him to turn to you and go, what should we do here? And then you tell him, all right, there, boom, $40,000. You can get somebody smart to do that for $40,000 a year. And the Chiefs make $40,000 in a half an hour. Every time everyone listening right now buys a hat, they make $40,000. So I feel like that should be something that the Chiefs should look into here. So Eric Fisher moves in, it's a false start, and then Alex Smith throws a pass to the 2-yard line to Jason Avant as time is just rolling, and they're like huddling. I mean, it's incredible. And the Smith ends up pitching it to Charkendrick West, who gets a touchdown, and it brings it within one score. It's 27-20 Patriots after that touchdown. But that was the third longest drive of the day by time spent by the Chiefs. The Chiefs had first and goal from the 1-yard line with 2:33 left. And it took the Chiefs a minute and 20 seconds to score. Brutal. I get it. Terrible. Not why the Chiefs lost this game. It's really not. But it's terrible, for sure. And then a Tom Brady pass after not getting the onside kick. A Tom Brady pass deflects off Tom Bahali and falls into Julian Edelman's arms. And if the ball bounces differently, it's a pick. And I get it, okay? I understand that some of you got pretty torn up about it. But I just, honestly, while watching it, could not be bothered. The Chiefs had chances all day that they blew. That was just a bad bounce. That was like a 25% of the time, that's a pick. 25% of the time it's caught, 50% of the time it's an incompletion. It's fine. Whoop-de-doo. I can't get that worked up about the end of the game because the Chiefs lost it so many times earlier on. Chiefs could have won this game by 2 touchdowns if they actually would have capitalized on the legitimate chances they had. So what went wrong? Other than the stuff I talked about earlier, here's some stuff. John Buchagaras tweeted, Tom Brady was pressured, under sacked, or under duress on four of his 43 dropbacks on Saturday. That's 9.3%, his second lowest of the season. 9% of the time, the Chiefs got to Tom Brady. It's not going to happen. He had 39 dropbacks with no pressure. 39 dropbacks with no pressure. Do you think there's a snowball's chance in hell that a team can beat Tom Brady while pressuring him four times? If you do, go ahead and tweet me, at JB Briscoe. I'd love to hear your rationale. I expect nobody to tweet me saying, yeah, you know what, actually, if you pressure Tom Brady four out of 43 times, you can win that game if... And I guess actually the Chiefs could have still won that game with no pressure if now Davis holds onto the ball, if they don't waste their great field position, if they pin the Patriots back. If Alex Smith hits a jumping Travis Kelce, if Kelce is a bigger factor in the game. And that's one thing that's so frustrating, I guess, is if those things go well and they still don't pressure Tom Brady worth anything. Or if the offense still has the same problems, but they do jam the receivers, like Tom Bahali suggested, Bob Sutton, they do jam the receivers, get pressure on Brady, and the offense is exactly the same, Chiefs probably win this game. That is so frustrating as a Chiefs fan, because there are different ways the Chiefs could have won this game still, and they didn't. They failed in too many places. And honestly, in one of the places that they failed that I'm mad about is not even the clock management thing. Since the game, Doug Peterson said that he was calling plays during that. Doug Peterson, now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll talk a little bit about coordinators before I have to peel out of this show. Doug Peterson said he didn't want to give Tom Brady too much time, which is insane. And yes, if you just drove your car into a ditch, if that's the first time you've heard this. Doug Peterson said that they were like purposefully burning up time on the last drive of the game that mattered, on that 2-minute drill, because they didn't want to give Tom Brady too much time. Excuse me, Mr. Coach Peterson, sir. You were down by 2 touchdowns. What do you mean? If you're going for the lead, do that. If you're going for a tie, do that. But if you have a bunch of time and you need to score 2 times, you need 2 scores. At this point in the game, don't burn up the time. If the Chiefs would have scored really quickly, I think they would have kicked it deep, tried to pin Brady back. Good luck. But the defense looked better in the second half because they were jamming the receiver apparently a little bit. I don't know. Who knows? That's what Tampa said. You want the ball back as quickly as possible. You want him to have the ball with as much time left as possible because you're down by 2 scores. So no, I don't believe that for a second if anyone was going to ask that question. So other than the pressure thing and the jamming the receivers thing, what else went wrong? The Chiefs' injuries finally caught up to him, and the Patriots got healthy at the right time. Macklin rarely got on the field. Houston saw just a handful of snaps. Losing your best offensive and defensive weapons cost the Chiefs for the first time in a dozen weeks. That's just how it happened. 8 snaps for Justin Houston, none in the second half. Tom Bahali played 54 of 58 defensive snaps. On 89 offensive snaps, Macklin played 33. Albert Wilson played 86. Avant played 59. Both of these things are true about this Chiefs season. The Chiefs far exceeded my expectations after week 6 / without Jamaal Charles and without Justin Houston for a lot of it. That's true. Also true, Saturday stunk. The Chiefs did not do as much as they could have. They had more in the tank. And there are so many ways the Chiefs could have won that game. If Houston is healthy, if Macklin is healthy, if they jam the receivers, if they get that pressure, if Mel Davis holds on to the ball, if they go get a touchdown 36 yards from the goal line, if they stop Tom Brady, if they slow down anybody, if Julian Edelman's foot wasn't as healthy as we ended up seeing that it was, so many ways the Chiefs could have walked away with the victory here. And they didn't. And ultimately, I think we saw basically what the Chiefs are as of that we thought could have happened at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. They're like the third or fourth best team in the AFC. I think that's fair. And I think that's overall, if you would have given me that at the beginning of the year, I would have said, sure, I'll take that. They're the a top 10 team. They win one game in the playoffs, lose in New England. That's about right. Heck, I might have predicted that. I don't know, and I don't care enough to go back and look, but I could have definitely said they win one playoff game and then lose in New England or in Denver. It's not a disappointing season, but this was a disappointing game. Even though it was against the best, the Chiefs didn't bring their best, which means there's a little bit of an unsatisfactory element to not only this game, but to the season as a whole. I think the Chiefs had farther to go. I think if they would have done those things that I just talked about, we'd ultimately be talking about them in the Super Bowl with a healthy Jeremy Maclin and a healthy Justin Houston after a bye week. Because I think they'd win in Denver. I think the Patriots would win in Denver by 2 touchdowns. It's not how the NFL works. And the Chiefs' season fell a little bit short, even though it far exceeded the expectations that we might have had after week 2, after week 3, 4, 5, 6. Jamaal Charles is out. It's okay to celebrate the end of the playoff drought. It's okay to be optimistic about the future, because I'm doing both of those things. I'm being optimistic about the future, and I'm glad the Chiefs ended the playoff drought. But it's okay to serve that with a little bit of a side of disappointment for the Chiefs finally brought at the end of the year, where the season finally came to an end. Before I do a quick scan over the recent coordinator news for the Kansas City Chiefs, I want to say thank you, especially right now at the end of the season, to some of the people who kept this show rolling just by donating money by their own accord. Randy Singh, Don Beal, at DonBeal32, and Randy Singh is at Randy_Singh, S-I-N-G-H _, on Twitter. Andy Simpson, Steven Smith, and Derek Vaughn, at D_Vaughn88. Those are all in the $20 group. I think the person who ended up pledging the most money from the $10 group this year, Christy Roadlander, at C. Roadlander, and Ty Declare, at TyDeclare44, also Josh Beadle. Thank all of you so much for continually keeping the show at a place where I can keep it on iTunes for people to subscribe and never miss an episode, which you can always do. It's on iTunes, Roughing the Kicker. For allowing me to do that, for allowing me to do things like get a new microphone, and for next year, hopefully, being able to bring in guests and callers, preferably, in my mind right now, experts from other teams. I would love to be able to expand the show that way next year, and if I'm able to, it's going to be because of the Patreon people who are going to make it financially viable for me to find ways to make that happen. So I cannot say thank you to all of you guys nearly enough, but this is all I can do right now, I suppose, on a weekly basis, unless eventually you send like your address and I'll come and knock on your door and leave flowers on your doorstep. You can join that group of people that I appreciate so greatly at patreon.com/RTK. It's a virtual tipping and reward site where you can pledge a little bit of money on a monthly basis. Or, like Randy Singh, he Facebook messaged me at facebook.com/RTKshow and asked for a PayPal address, and he just sent cash that way. If you want to support the show in any way, I promise I'll appreciate it, including if you just want to share the show with your friends, people who you think might like it, want to write a review on iTunes. I hear people say that's super helpful. I'll take their word for it. But everyone who's supported this show and listened to this show throughout this season, maybe going back into last season or the year before, I can't say thank you enough for the investment in this show that you've made, either financially or just with your time, with having conversations on Twitter or Facebook. This show is fun for me to do. I like talking about the Chiefs. I like talking about football. I would love to eventually be able to do this for a living on some level. But it is such a different element to know that I get to do this. All this, it's hard sometimes to set up the show like this and to sit down and do it and knock it out. But it is an entirely different experience to know that I can sit down and do this and have you ready to listen. So even though it's a conversation where only I'm talking for 45 minutes at a time like this, and then your responses have to come in afterwards, and I would love it if we had a live show with phone calls and everything to be able to talk to all of you at the drop of a hat and live. But to be able to have a dialogue like this, even though it's one-sided for 45 minutes at a time, is so fantastic, and I appreciate you listening so, so much. As much fun as it is to be able to talk about the Chiefs into a microphone for large chunks of time, it is so, so much more fun to be able to do it knowing that you want to hear it. So thank you all so much for listening to this show as you do, and some of you for supporting the show financially or with your time. But more than anything, thanks for listening. You've made this season a blast for me to do. coordinator stuff. Doug Peterson has left the Chiefs. He's going to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Chiefs are installing Brad Childress and quarterback coach Matt Nagy as offensive coordinator, as co-offensive coordinators with Peterson's departure, which is very odd to me. And actually, I'm going to save a lot of the breakdown for this for next week's episode to figure out, not only to reassess how many plays Doug Peterson called in Kansas City, because it's more than I thought, to look at how Andy Reid has talked about a co-offensive coordinator system working, and to look at what exactly this means. I'll break all of that down more extensively in future episodes because we don't have Chiefs game to talk about. But I will continue doing shows throughout the offseason. I'll probably take a couple weeks off somewhere eventually, but not yet, not until at least after the Super Bowl. So we'll break down all of that more in depth next week. But right now, my original thought when just Childress as offensive coordinator was announced, I was cool with it. He's experienced. It keeps the rising quarterback and running back coaches in place, or did at the time. Childress should be able to advance the offense. Since then, Nagy was hired as the co-offensive coordinator. Childress is going to stay in the booth. Nagy will be on the sidelines. Andy Reid said that he's going to call plays, which does make me nervous. We'll break all that down more next week. For now, though, I like that Brad Childress knows the system. He knows the talent. Nagy obviously does, too. I'm just assuming his last name is pronounced Nagy. I've never heard it said out loud. It's N-A-G-Y. I'm going to roll with Nagy for now. It keeps the coordinators in place. It keeps the system in place. A system that we think is either going in the right direction, is effective, or needs to be for the Chiefs to be successful under Andy Reid. Once again, thank you all so much for listening to Roughing the Kicker here on Arrowhead Addict throughout this season. As I said, it's been a blast for me to do, knowing that you want to click and listen, and we'll have the conversation about what next season looks like even now as this season comes to a close. I am Joshua Briscoe, your every week host. You can get to me on Twitter at JBBriscoe, Facebook.com/RTK Show, Patreon.com/RTK are all links that you should have heard several times by now. Now remember, though, as this season comes to a close for the Kansas City Chiefs, it does not come to a close for Roughing the Kicker. I cannot wait to talk to you again next week. As always, thank you, and bye, Mom!